Thanks for joining us at Cults to Consciousness. This storytelling podcast is meant to be for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for any medical advice. We may discuss triggering topics, and we ask that you make your personal mental health a priority. Lastly, the opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the host.
When I came back to the hotel suite, he was getting a massage from another teacher trainer. He ignored me. I grabbed my stuff and I was like, you know, bye Bikram, you know, I'll see you later. He goes, like, it totally switched.
Oh no. Now you're worried he's going to take everything away.
Exactly. I can't back out of the lease. I can't give the parent, my parents, the money back. Like, I'm already in.
Oh my gosh.
And he was utilizing that as a way where he believed that he could sexually assault me again.
Yeah.
He waited until that moment, the first time I was alone with him, but he knew I was already.
You were too deep in.
You're a senior teacher. You can teach the trainees, but you're going to have to do something for me.
Hey, my name is Shalise Ansola, and this is Cults to Consciousness, where we discuss leaving high-demand religions or organizations and finding healing and independence through awareness and true individual sovereignty. If you're only listening and you want to see our faces, go to our YouTube channel at Cults to Consciousness, where you can like, subscribe, become a supporter and advocate for these people who are bravely coming on and sharing their stories. So today's guest, we've had her on previously. This is going to be the second part, but you don't have to necessarily watch the first part if you want to continue on with this part. In the first episode, we are talking about Bikram Yoga. We're talking about the guru Bikram, who is basically a fraud, came over to the United States, basically popularized hot yoga in the States, claimed he had all these special powers, claimed that he created these postures when in reality they were just plagiarized from somebody else, and essentially became this god that people would look up to and devoted their entire lives to. So this documentary came out called Bikram, Yogi, Guru, Predator. It's on Netflix, and he is basically being exposed for all of the horrible things that he put these women through and his other followers through. So in the first episode, we talk about how our guest went through all of the teacher trainings, how she was groomed, how she was manipulated, and how she was singled out by Bikram and eventually assaulted. And in this next episode, we're going to be talking about how he continued to control and manipulate her, using her business, her livelihood, holding that over her head, threatening her, trying to continue to assault her, and how he eventually was put through the legal system once more survivors started speaking out against him, and basically all of the ways that he continued to be a predator. So we're joined by Larissa Anderson, who was part of the documentary, and in the previous episode we left off where she is now back in contact with him after a year of silence. Now we're going to get into ways in which he continued to manipulate her and hold her business over her head.
He said, I want you to book a flight, come down, and don't worry about anything. It's like nothing ever happened. You're part of this family. Just come stay with us like the old times. And that's it. And I said, okay. So I booked a flight, and I went down to his house. And even like during visits, that sleep deprivation, practicing 2-3 times a day. So I would take like a class in the morning, I would take advanced class in the afternoon, and I'd take another class in the evening.
I don't know how you were surviving. That's insane to me.
I don't know either. I don't know either. And then I'd come home, and then it was like, Roger, you'd make food and I'd serve it to Bikram, and then Bikram would want a massage, and then he watches Bollywood movies, and so you're staying up until 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Next day, same thing. Like, aren't you going to go to yoga? Even outside of teacher training, that was still what was going on. Grooming process, the brainwashing, the sleep deprivation, like all the typical things that a cult would do was just normal. You know, that was just normal stuff. And it was during that trip that he raped me. In his house, with his wife and his kids upstairs.
Oh my gosh.
And we had gone out to dinner, and he was driving, when we were going back home, and he brought up my ex-boyfriend and grabbed my hand and held my hand and said, like, I'm so glad that you've come back. Like, you're too good, too sweet of a girl to be influenced by my ex, and that he was there to take care of me, and that I'm safe with him. My ex can never hurt me or harm me now that I'm back with Bikram and Bikram Yoga and the family. And it was that night that he raped me. So when I look at it, it's like the message that I got was, I went against Bikram the year before. Here I came back and he's like, I will protect you. But the last conversation we had was about my ex-boyfriend. So I knew the message was, you went against me. You didn't choose me, but now you're back and you chose me. And later that night, again, typical massage, you know, watching the Bollywood movie, and then he rapes me, was, you're never going to go against me.
Mm.
Is the message that, like, I look back at, and that's, I have control over you. You are silent. You will not go against me. If you do, like, this is what's going to happen. But the way that he was treating me was like, he wanted to have a relationship with me. You know, even though I said no, when he first attempted to kiss me, at his house, I said, no, I said, I don't want that kind of relationship with you. And we already knew that he had affairs. I've seen one of his mistresses at the house when his wife was home, you know, so it's not like we didn't know that that's what he did, but I didn't want to ever have that kind of relationship. But I think that that event was about having power over me.
Yeah.
And not anything more than that. But then it was like, I want to have a relationship with you, you know? And I'm like, I don't want a relationship with you. I just want to be a good teacher.
Yeah.
When I started my studio many years later, I started the process in like 2011. During all of this time, this is like 2006, 2007 when this happened, like, made sure I was never alone with him, but I was pursuing my career as a yoga teacher, made sure that I never pissed him off. I also made sure I was never alone with him if I had to be around him. And there were a few people that I had shared what happened to me, kept them close to me as like this, like my bodyguards without being my bodyguards type of thing. And I wanted to start a studio. I had to get his blessings. I went through the process of getting the approval from him. My parents invested like all of their like retirement savings into this project so I could realize my dream. Mm-hmm. And one of the requirements is that you had to get recertified. So I had to go back down to Los Angeles to get this recertification. I was invited to teach the teacher trainers, which was the first time that that had happened. And it's a huge honor. Like, that's like the thing that you're like ultimate, like, yay, like I've made it kind of thing. But Bikram chooses that. So Bikram had told his assistant that he wanted me to teach the class the next day. How I ended up being in this situation was like a whole series of events that ended up with me staying in the additional bedroom of his hotel suite, because I was staying with a friend, another yoga teacher, that was like 45 minutes away from teacher training. My other girlfriend, she was one who wanted me to call Bikram after I'd been blacklisted. She was coming to the hotel with her boyfriend as a returning teacher for the recertification. So I had gone down there to help out with teacher training. So you don't get paid for any of this stuff either. He saw that I was there and was like, why don't you stay? And I was like, no, like, my girlfriend's coming tomorrow. Like, I'm going to go back to my other friend's place. And then he said, well, I want you to teach the teacher training tomorrow, which was like 7 o'clock in the morning. So he basically was like, don't leave. And I was like, the biggest honor of my life.
Right.
So that resulted in me agreeing to stay at the hotel in his room, a second bedroom. But his room, his hotel suite was attached to another one where his niece was staying. So I felt like some level of protection because there was somebody else there.
Yeah.
But it was like the first time that I had been alone with him. But now my parents had invested all of this money. We had signed the lease. So it was kind of like that perfect situation for him to attempt to rape me again. And that evening, like again, we stayed up. His niece was there. She went to go to bed. I was saying like, hey, I'm tired. I have to teach teacher training tomorrow. You know, I want to go to sleep. And he tried to have me stay up longer with him. But I, you know, then started asking me about Washington Studios and are people like teaching correctly? Like, is there anybody that's going against him up there? Like, he was trying to like get information from me about studios up in Washington and if they were honoring him correctly. And I was like, I really need to go to bed. And so like, I got up and walked around the couch. He gets up, walks around the couch the other way and pushes me up against the wall. I knew he was going to hit me again, but I think that I was in a much different space for myself and my life. And I think he had a sense of that. And I was able to push him away. And I said, Vikram, I don't want that kind of relationship with you. And he said, okay. He goes, will you bring me, you know, tuck me into bed. I was like, fuck, you know, I don't want to piss him off. Like, I'm finally going to do, you know, lead teacher training tomorrow. Just don't piss him off. You know, you're in this room with in his suite. Like, you have no other place to go. So he went into bed and then he asked me to massage his feet. And I'm like, okay, massaging his feet and then massage his hands. And he's talking about like how much he respects me and how long I've been loyal to him and how trustworthy I am as a teacher. And that he just wants me to come to teacher training and be close with him. And he will teach me everything that I need to have to be a famous, you know, successful teacher.
Yeah.
He'll help my studio be successful. He goes, you just need to come down and spend time with me. You know, I don't like being alone. I just need you to come down. You know how to take care of me more than other people know how to take care of me. And I'll make sure that your studio is successful. And was trying to, it's like, you know, say like, why don't you sleep with me tonight? And I was like, no, I don't want to sleep with you, Vikram. And he goes, okay. And he dropped it. And I'm shortening the story, but he dropped the subject. I went into my room. I was trying to find something to prop up against the door so he couldn't go in.
Yeah.
Couldn't sleep. I got up in the morning to teach the training group. So you're up on this platform teaching. We call it the podium. There's a big chair there. That's usually where Bikram sits. I was told, do not sit on his chair. You're not allowed to sit on the chair. It's high up, so heat rises, and you have like 300, 400, 500 people in the room. They purposely make the room hot and humid more so than the normal studios that you go to. So you as a teacher are up high. This is where all the heat and humidity goes. And I said, isn't there like a fan or something, you know? And the guy who does the microphone tech stuff was like, that's only for Bikram. You're not allowed to sit on his chair. There, we blow air conditioning on the podium when Bikram teaches, not for anyone else.
Jeez.
So I had no sleep at all. I was worried about getting raped in this room. And here I was, the biggest honor of my life is to teach at teacher training.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just getting like punched left and right. And I can't say anything because my parents have just put $200,000 into the studio. I've signed a lease and He dangled the carrot in front of my face of, now you're a senior teacher. You're loyal, you're senior. Basically, he's, applied that title to my role, and then he wants to have sex with me, which I didn't have. When I came back to the hotel suite, he was getting a massage from another teacher trainer. He ignored me.
Oh.
I grabbed my stuff and I was like, bye, Bikram, I'll see you later. He goes, it totally switched.
Oh no. Now you're worried he's gonna take everything away.
Exactly. I can't back out of the lease. I can't give the parent my parents the money back. Like, I'm already in,
Oh my
and he
gosh.
was utilizing that as a way where he believed that he could sexually assault me again.
Yeah.
He waited until that moment, the first time I was alone with him, but he knew I was already,
You were too deep in.
I don't even want to say knee deep. I was neck deep into my commitments, and that's when he dangled the carrot. Here, you're a senior teacher, you can teach the trainees, but you're gonna have to do something for me,
Wow.
which is sleep with him, which I wasn't gonna do. But then the attitude changed, and then it was, I didn't feel the support. They weren't listing my studio on the website, and I kept calling like the IT and the tech group. I'm like, hey, like, I have a yoga studio, I have been approved by Bikram, like, put me on the website. And I was no longer getting the support from the headquarters that I had contracts with, that they were supposed to do these different steps, and they weren't doing it because Bikram said, done. I don't know what he said. I'm just saying that, like, because I didn't sleep with him, now I was no longer getting support from headquarters per the agreement of me being a Bikram Yoga Studio, and I followed all the rules, and now they were no longer supporting me as a Bikram studio. So I was like, can't you just call Bikram? Like, can't you just have a conversation with them? And they're like, no. Like, it was just this full stop.
Oh my gosh, was this affecting your business? Did you notice that you weren't getting a lot of students?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because when people looked for Bikram studios, they were looking for legitimate Bikram approved studios. I was not on the website. So that, I had been in Kirkland, Washington, for a long time. So there were, people that already knew me as a teacher, but as far as exposing me to additional students, I wasn't getting that. I lost a huge marketplace of potential students because I was not listed as an official Bikram approved studio because people would find me on the Bikram Yoga website. This is an approved studio from Bikram. That's where you went, and I was not listed.
Oh my gosh, that's so frustrating. It's more than frustrating. It's diabolical that he would do something like that to you. And it's so wrong.
Yeah.
And just everything. I'm so sorry that all of that happened to you. I can't even imagine. You were just completely stuck in
Yeah.
this impossible situation and just holding your ground and saying, no, I don't want to have sex with you. And he's taking everything away. It's so awful.
Yeah. After that experience with him, when he attempted to, well, not even attempted, he did assault me again, just he just didn't me. That
Yeah.
was the difference. He assaulted me, he didn't me. I told my parents about what had happened, and I was like, he tried again, and like, here I am in this impossible situation. I thought finally he respected me. Like, I thought finally it was like he wouldn't try that again. Finally, like, I'm a senior teacher, like, I've got his approval, and I'm finally in a good place. And then he assaulted me again. I was like, so, I don't know. And I was like, we're gonna have to, like, I have no support from the community anymore. I need to transition my studio from a Bikram studio to a non-Bikram studio. So I had to spend like a shit ton more money to do that transition. and become a non-Bikram studio because I didn't have the support from him or the community at that point anyway. So, and then he tried to assault me. I mean, he did assault me again, but he didn't. Me. So I was like, I don't even know why I'm here anymore. Like, I think that was like the process where I started waking up. And during that time, there was a girl who had come forward, and there was an article that came out about her experience and Bikram assaulting her. And it started going through all the studios, or like, hey, have you seen this article? You know, have you heard? And I said, no. And I was linked to the article, and I read it, and I just the Pandora's box opened of like everything that I had gone through, but I thought I was the only one. I didn't think that other like he had done that to other people. Like, he was obviously abusive towards people, you know, publicly, at teacher training. Is, you know, there was so much of that. But as far as being and sexually assaulted, I thought I was the only one. And here there was this other woman who was assaulted, not raped, but assaulted, and her career was like taken away from her. And I was like, that happened to me. Like she's not the only one. That happened to me. So I ended up calling the lawyer that was listed at the, you know, end of the article. And I said, you know, hey, I just want to share what happened to me so she knows that she's not alone. I then decided to come forward, initially as Jane Doe because I was very, very fearful of Bikram. You know, I knew that he had put like I'd heard he'd put like hits on people. And yeah, and I didn't want to be on the receiving end of that. So I was very, 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 very scared to come forward, and I didn't want my information to be shared. But then I decided like I needed to share what happened to me, and I needed people to know it was me that that happened to. And so I then decided to share my name publicly, and it was a very long process. Bikram basically avoided like showing up for any of the required like court dates and deposition and whatnot. So I had to go through that. I had to be re-traumatized over and over and over again. And he left the country and was not showing up for the deposition, not showing up for the, you know, court dates that were required in this process. And I realized like I probably wasn't going to get my day in court with him, and that was all I wanted. Like, I wanted to sit across from him. But during that time, he was trying to reach out to me through my girlfriend, like saying he was going to sue the other girls who had come forward. He wasn't going to sue me because I was part of the family. And he was getting these messages to me through other people and trying to get me to write a letter that he was good to me, that like these things never happened. And then it was my ex-boyfriend who got involved in the middle of the case and was, you know, wanting me to come up with a number, and Bikram was going to pay me between each other for me to stop my case. So I was going to drop my case because he was going to pay me money. And my ex-boyfriend was trying to mediate that conversation. So, like, through the whole period of my legal case, Bikram was trying to get me to drop my case with various tactics. And I was like, no, fuck you. That's not you raped me. Like, this happened to me. Like, you don't get to, like, you know, like sweep this underneath the rug. Like, fuck you. Like, no, we're going to court.
The audacity of him, for him to just be like, don't worry, I'm not gonna sue you because you're part of the family. Okay. That's what you do to your family? Wow. Like, the lack of self-awareness is astonishing. And watching some of the footage from the documentary of him in the deposition, I was like, I just want to punch him in the face. He's so punchable and it's just so cringy and he's so just doesn't get it.
It's mind-blowing. And my girlfriend who was relaying these messages from Bikram to me during my case, when I initially read the article about this other woman, I had called my girlfriend and I said, hey, you know what happened to me. I told her, be great with me. And she even explained the rape as he was removing the energy of my ex-boyfriend from my body because I had an out-of-body experience.
Oh my gosh.
That's how she explained it to me. Or that's, so I was I told him, no, this happened. And she's like, well, you guys were talking about your ex. He was just removing that energy from your body.
Oh my gosh.
That was the explanation. That's how culty this group is. And then when this girl had come forward and I read the article, I called her again. She was still my best friend. And I was like, he raped me. I'm not the only, there's other people out there. And she's like, that girl is crazy. Why would you go against the family? That was how she responded to me. Do not follow her lead. She's crazy. We all know she's crazy. Don't go against the family. Bikram is your family. Don't go against him.
That is the cult mentality. Anyone who speaks out, anyone who tries to leave is demonized and shunned. And that's they go after their integrity and they go after themselves as a person. And just, wow, that is, oh, I mean, that just lays it out. When people are like, is it really a cult? We'll try to leave and see what happens.
And when I came forward and people found out it was me, or when I came forward with my name, there was so much backlash and within these social media groups against me, I was torn apart. I lost my community. I lost my friends. The things that people were saying on these social media platforms were terrifying. I was the person that they all needed to attack. I ruined Bikram yoga. And I was like, I didn't. He made a choice. He did this himself.
Yes.
And I'm not the only one. There's other women and there's thousands of people who called into the lawyers' offices who were too scared to go up against him. But this has been going on for ever since he's been in America. This isn't just an isolated incident. This is the entire time that he's been here. But people are so deathly afraid of him and what he'll do that they will not come forward. And even after I ended up settling my case, because I knew he was not going to come back to America. I was not going to see him in court. And my parents were like, how long do you want to do this in your life, and because they're like, even if you win, he's going to appeal. He's got the money to do it. He will keep going and going and going and going. When is it done for you? And I said, I need to see him in court. And because I know that's not going to happen, then I have to look at settling because I need to move on with my life. And after the settlement happened, I moved, I moved to this country town, whatever. Okay, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I'm going to try to make this quick. Right before I closed my studio was right around the time that my court date was scheduled. There was a gentleman that showed up at my studio, 4 days before my studio closed, from California. And came into my studio and said, hey, I took your class in California. I heard that you were closing and I wanted to come here and take your class before you closed. I had no idea who this guy was. He would take my class and stare at me the entire time. Wasn't even doing the practice, a third of it, maybe just watching me. And then when he left, he called me boss, which is a term that Bikram used. Nobody called me boss at my studio. So he was using Bikramisms, Bikram terms to me as he was leaving. Then he was hanging outside of the studio. So he was obviously spying on me. He came to my party, that my closing, my studio party with my students, and started asking them where I was going, what I was going to do, interrogating my students about my life. And then one of my girlfriends tried to sit next to him, and then he was on the phone talking to somebody and switched from English to Indian language. So she couldn't hear what he was saying. So I was like, he's spying on me. Like, this is Bikram sending somebody up here to spy on me. So I settled, and then I moved to the country, like way away from everything. I go to this studio within the first week that I taught, like my first class there. He shows up at that studio. So my studio closed. He shows up at the very end of that. And I have security footage of him like standing outside of my studio when I was there by myself. Like I was, and I left and he opened up his trunk. I thought he had a gun. Like I thought I was going to get killed. Like all the other businesses were closed. I was there by myself. And then, okay, my studio closes, whatever. I settled the court. You know, I'm trying to move on in my life. And then within a week of this new studio, and then I'm teaching, he shows up at that studio. This is not like an in the city place that everybody, like, this is out of the way. He shows up. And I was like, holy shit. And then the documentary was coming out on Netflix. So I'm kind of like fast forwarding. There's space in between this when these events happen. And then the Netflix show was going live. I think like the first showing was in Canada. And I went to another studio that I was practicing and teaching at, and I went in to teach, and he shows up.
Oh my
So like all of
gosh.
these specific times of like here the court date was coming up. He shows up right when my studio is closing. Then the settlement happens and I move somewhere completely out of the way, you know, and then he shows up at that studio. Then the Netflix documentary is now being presented to the public and he shows up at another studio that I'm at. So I'm like, Bikram is saying, like, I'm following you around. I've got my eyes on you. And Bikram even called me and left a message on my phone and tried to text me that he needed to talk to me. He had a problem that he needed my help with, and then left a message and said, probably surprised that you're hearing from me. You know, how are you? Like, how's your family? I hope everything's going well. You know, I really need to talk to you. Please call me. I'm like, what the hell? And, you know, my parents are like, when is this going to be over? And I said, it's not going to be over until him or my ex-boyfriend is dead. Like, I can't get away from this, you know? And that's the thing of, you know, being part of a cult, even when you've gone through the process of healing and moving on, like they always have this, like, I just want you to know I'm still here. I'm still watching you. You know, be careful what you do, you know? And that was the thing for me, if they wanted to put a silent clause on the settlement, and I would not agree to it. Because it was important to me to continue talking about what happened to me, because I don't want it to happen to other people. I know we're not going into like the major nitty gritty of everything that I went through, but to suffice it to say, like, cults are out there. Smart people can get involved in them. You know, you don't think it's going to happen to you, and it does. And what's a little scary to me is that even when you get out of it, like it's still there, you know, like I've done so much work to heal, but there's still things that trigger me. And I still feel like I'm looking over my shoulder because they're still alive. Like, you know, and that influence of cult and cult leaders in your life is weirdly powerful, you know, and it's a bit scary. Self-help in particular is just be really, really careful. You know, be really, really careful if they want to isolate you from your friends and family, and like, just that's a red flag. Like, don't get involved, you know, run, run the other
I'm
way.
sure it's terrifying because he is still out there and he just fled the country. And at the end of the documentary, it shows that he's still doing teacher trainings in other countries, in Mexico. And that's what's so awful about it is there are people out there who are still being influenced by him. And so thank you for coming on and sharing. And I'm hoping that this will reach those wide audiences and people can spread the word. Don't get involved with this guy. I mean, it's hard because I'm sure there were good things about the yoga that you really enjoyed, but then you're sucked into this cult-like atmosphere. And do you think, is it your opinion that someone could, I don't know, I guess on the most basic level, be involved in the Bikram classes and still maintain their sanity or not get roped into the cult of Bikram?
I still love the practice. I still love teaching. And I think for me, like, I had associated the practice with Bikram. And what I realized through my process of healing was that I owned my own practice. Bikram never did. And he didn't even own the practice itself. He didn't even own, you know, he didn't even come up with the sequence. So what I realized is that, like, the yoga in and of itself is not bad. Him as a person and the choices that he made are bad. But that has nothing to do with the practice or, like, you know, me as a teacher teaching. But I do think that, you know, a lot of people have separated from him. I would say you still have to be careful when you practice and the studios that you go to, and just, like, look for those signs. Like, are they still under the influence? Are they still drinking the Kool-Aid? Those are the ones to avoid. But there are plenty of people who woke up, if you will, and stepped out of the cult that have, you know, good intention to share the benefit of yoga with people. So yes, I do think it's possible. It's just that you have to do your due diligence and you have to pay attention and what messages that they're trying to, you know, give to you as a student.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's very well put. Yeah. And people say that with a lot of different groups, like Mormonism, for example, where I grew up, and they're like, yeah, but I learned family values and I learned this and I learned that. Mm-hmm. And that's great, but you don't have to be a Mormon to have those values still, and you don't have to be Mormon to value your family. So I think taking the good, but also being hypervigilant, like you said, and being extremely aware of when things start to go south. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just the consciousness, the awareness. That's why we call it cults to consciousness. Right. You have to be conscious. You have to be able to look around and say with honesty, is this serving me or is this controlling me? Is this benefiting me? Is it bringing me peace or is it bringing me self-destruction and depression and anxiety and isolation? And really be aware of all of those things. So with that, where are you now? I know that you still do yoga because you did it before our call. So what brings you peace and happiness and joy?
Oh my gosh. I where I'm at now, I mean, I still love yoga. I still love practicing. It is good for my body. It's good for my heart. It's good for my soul. It's definitely good for my mind. I've gone a different direction in my life. Like, I'm not a full-time yoga teacher. It is not like the primary and only thing of my life anymore. So that's been really good for me to explore, like, different parts of myself outside of yoga. And that's brought me a lot of joy too, because I am more than just what I was told I was as a Bikram teacher. Yeah. So that's been pretty fun to learn about myself.
Yeah. And what about your relationships? Were you able to get any of them back? Did you have those conversations of, sorry, guys, I was in a cult and now I want to reignite these friendships?
No. There were a few people that I ended up actually becoming friends with as I had come forward, but that part of my life and those relationships are, like, pretty much over and done with, because a lot of them still have ties to Bikram and his wife, and that's not something that I can participate in. But the people who were outspoken, who came forward or supported the women who did come forward, found some solace in those relationships.
Yeah. Well, I think that's beautiful too, knowing that people can come and go from your life, and that's okay. And when it no longer serves you, it's okay to move on and find other friendships and community and people who support you where you're at now. I think that's a tricky thing too. People oftentimes want to hold on to these relationships even though it's still bringing them down because of the ties that they still have. And I guess my message is it's okay to let go of the things and the relationships and the people and set boundaries for those who aren't continuing to help you in your path now. So that's beautiful.
And I think that's important too, is like, you know, healthy boundaries are healthy boundaries. And if people don't respect that, it's okay to let go of those relationships, because I think that there's this level of like codependence and attachment, and we think that we have to do it, but we don't. And that it's okay. It's okay to have boundaries, and it's okay to let things go that are toxic to you in your life.
Yeah, I agree. That's actually a great Linda listen, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to do a different one if you want. If that would have been great Linda listen, boundaries are okay.
Yeah.
But do you have another Linda listen, a sassy statement or something inspirational?
What is it, Linda? Listen. I would just say, like, you know, if you have toxic people in your life, tell them to fuck off. That would be one. And you know, be like unapologetic about that. Like, you know, like fuck you and fuck off and like peace out. I'm out of here, kind of thing. And you know, the other thing, like, I'd say, Linda, listen, is to like remember that the people who are predators, who are targeting men, women, whomever, children, adults, you know, it's across the board, is that their greatest power is your silence.
Yeah.
So remembering that your most powerful thing is your voice and your story and your truth. And I know it's so scary to talk about your experience, and you're afraid of what they'll do to you. But I also think that, like, by sharing what you've been through, it's like so much powerful than the power you think that they have.
Yeah.
Or the damage you think that they can do, because they can't. You know, they just want you to believe that they can ruin your life or whatever. Like, your voice is so important, and it will not only heal you, but it will help heal other people.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So with that, thank you for coming on and sharing and using your voice and blowing a lid off of this. It was the first time I heard of Bikram as being problematic, because of course I live in LA, and so everyone's like, hot yoga, you have to try it. And so when I saw the documentary, I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea the darkness that was lurking beneath that surface. And so thank you for coming out and sharing and being a voice and exposing all of these things.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Do you have any other final thoughts before we go?
Okay, one thing came up. I do remember hearing Bikram say after, like, these women were coming forward, that during a teacher training, he said, I should reach more women. It's good for my business.
Oh my gosh, he did not say that.
Yeah.
Why does he think it's good for his business?
Because people were still coming to teacher training even after these women came forward.
Oh, wow. So, wow.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's crazy that there's people out there like that, and that there's people who continue to support them.
Oh,
that was just something that popped up in my head. And like, he even admitted to raping me at his house over a phone call. So wild to me that, like, he just thinks that, like, I'm above the law and I can get away with this.
It's psychotic. And
that's why I keep saying, like, use your voice. Like,
yes.
That is so important.
Yes.
Because they bank on the fact that you will be silent to their abuse. And the more people that speak up about whatever abuse they're experiencing, I think will, you know, be for the better. multiple.
Yeah. I mean, initially I was like, maybe it's okay to continue doing Bikram as long as you're not around him or get sucked in. But now I'm like, let's burn this to the ground.
I know.
He's still saying stuff like this because he's directly profiting from these teacher trainings, and that's not okay.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. But it like, again, it's like, I love the practice, and I love the hot, I love the heat, you know? And there are people who want to share the goodness of it, but you just, you know, have to be really careful and pay attention. And if anybody tells you what to think or how to feel, that's not the place you want to be.
Yeah. Hot yoga, yes. Bikram, no. Let's just wipe out his business and keep doing hot yoga. That's what I'm getting from this.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So, guys, if you're watching, liking, sharing, commenting will boost the algorithm. The longer you watch, the more likely YouTube is to boost us out to other people. We want to spread the word about this disgusting person and bring down his business. Sorry, I'm getting a little feisty. Normally, I'm like, it's fine. But now I'm like, let's bring him down. No. I'm feistier the more pregnant I get. So if you want to reach out to Larissa, you can check out her Instagram, Yogini Larissa. I'll put the link in the description below. And yeah, leave those words of encouragement for her for coming on and sharing so bravely. And if you want to support the podcast even further, you can get some of our merch at cultstoconsciousness.com under the merch tab. You could also become a patron if you would like at patreon.com/cultstoconsciousness. Our newest patrons, Gabby and Donald, thank you so much for your support. We are working on channel memberships. We just haven't launched it yet, so stay tuned for that. If you want to go to Costa Rica, we just had another person sign up, so 5 more spots. I promise it's not a culty yoga retreat. It's not even a yoga retreat. We're just going to go to Costa Rica. We're going to do some horseback riding to waterfalls, and there's a spa treatment, and you will not be disfellowshipped if you don't come. Recently, there was a comment that said, wow, you're promoting consciousness. I think this page is a cult. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm kind of honored. This is like the first time someone has called Cults to Consciousness a cult. And the comments have been so fun on my Instagram because I posted it. And they're like, I'm your number one cult follower. Do I get a badge? I'm like, yes, you do. So come join the cult on Instagram if you want. Come to Costa Rica. It's going to be great. So thank you guys so much for watching. And I'll leave 2 videos down here that you may want to check out. And until next time, follow your highest excitement, be conscious, and be well.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, it would mean a lot if you could like and subscribe on YouTube and leave a review or a comment to help with our visibility. You can also find me on social media at cults2consciousness or reach out by email at cults2consciousness@gmail.com.